You're listening to a Countout Podcast. What it is, welcome to the last episode of A Carter Shorts, I guess. The second last time you're going to hear that fucking shit, because I guess it's all falling down around us, I guess.
Jam to that shit one more time while you fucking can.
Yeah, absolutely. God, we're definitely going to play it on the outro, but fucking Owen's going to be less than impressed with me when I'm like, hey, homie, you got to write me a new song. Shout out Owen Riff My Potter. He's like, fucking how many songs can I write? So yeah, let's address the elephant in the room real quick, and then we'll talk some fucking Wrestle Kingdom and stuff. We're going to catch up on everything we've been wanting to talk to in our downtime, and we're just going to enjoy New Japan. But yeah, fucking elephant in the room, Okada's leaving New Japan. We named our podcast after Okada, or at least a moment that he was a very big part of. So there you go.
I feel like the dude that's sitting like in the city center with like the sandwich board that says the end is nigh and like the bell, he's ringing the bell. He's like,
he is,
you know,
he is. Oh, do you conveniently have a bell right there?
The end is nigh.
I thought he was actually holding a bell, but it was his phone. He had some kind of thing. So yeah, anyway, we're not going to be super dramatic. We're not ending the show. We did talk about it. Mainly because we're tired old men and we're like, maybe we just fucking don't do this shit anymore. But we're still going to do the show. Curtis and I love talking wrestling way too much. But we have been banding about like format changes and stuff for a while. And we're like, well, maybe this all kind of coincides and maybe we just take a beat. Let's record. Let's talk about Wrestle Kingdom. Let's talk about the events and the recent things. Let's talk about what we're looking forward to in 2024. And then him and I will take a beat. And we'll sort of reboot and decide what we want to be after that. Maybe it is still Okada Shorts. We don't fucking know. But yeah,
maybe it is still Okada Shorts. But I doubt it. I doubt it.
I think we're both in agreement that like, especially like if Okada retired, I think we would still be Okada Shorts. If Okada's active in WWE or AEW or whatever, it kind of doesn't really make sense to be Okada Shorts for a couple of reasons. A, anybody that wants to hear coverage of Okada is not going to get that when they listen to our show. And B, New Japan and New Japan affiliated people aren't going to want to fucking talk about our podcast because it's named after a wrestler that doesn't even work for them anymore. So that doesn't make sense either. So it just doesn't work. So I think it's pretty safe to say we will rename and rebrand. And we're banding around a few ideas. You could tune into Drop Your Shorts over on Patreon, on the Count Out Patreon, and hear us banding about what is currently our sort of top suggestion. But yeah, we're open to ideas. So if you have any, DM us. Yeah. Give us your idea.
If you've got an idea for a podcast name you think would be cool as shit, let's fucking go. Yeah. It's the idea of.
Provided you don't want money for it. We're not paying anybody for anything.
We're not paying anybody for it. Don't even worry
about
it.
We don't earn money from it. We're not paying for it.
you said it the best. The idea was that we named our podcast after a special place and time.
Yeah.
But we've tied our identity, whether we meant to or not, we've tied our identity to one wrestler in one company. It's one wrestler we thought would never leave that.
I thought it was the safest one. The only other safe thing would be to name our fucking podcast after Tanahashi, which I don't think is leaving. And to be honest, I briefly thought about doing, but I think it's safe. And we had some fun other ideas of names of like, you know, naming it after wrestlers, but really it comes down to, right, you said it best. It's like, it's one thing if the dude leaves, But at the end of the day, it's wrestling. What if one of these dudes becomes a fucking sex pest like so many wrestlers do? What if somebody kills somebody? Yep. You know what I mean? Like your name is always tied into the actions of somebody else that you have no control over or anything like that. And we're like, maybe we just need to be a little bit broader than that. And also you and I enjoy talking about other wrestling, things like Rev Pro, things like PWA, you know, New Japan adjacent stuff. But maybe if we have a little bit broader title, that sort of works a little bit better as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think having something that we can hear people mention when they're speaking to their Japanese speaking counterparts and stuff like that. Like I'm thinking back to the time that Robbie specifically mentioned Super J Cast and We Work Stiff and said and other podcasts because he didn't want to mention Okada's shorts specifically and have all the Nihongo speakers going like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
That makes no sense. And like, he told me this and I'm like, that 100% makes sense, you know? And that's the thing, right? It's like, it's confusing. And even for other wrestlers, I think like New Japan wrestlers, like say we're going to interview somebody, like some of them be down with it and down with the joke, but it's like, why do I want to be interviewed on the podcast named after a dude that I'm potentially feuding with or has the belt or anything like that, you know? And that isn't stuff that we thought about when we started because we were like, we just want to have a funny name and have fun and, you know, and as we've said 100 times, name it after the coolest moment in New Japan history that we were ever a part of, which was the return of Okada shorts from the fucking, you know, the return of the Rainmaker. But it's not that anymore. And now the Rainmaker is returning to elsewhere. So it's fucking, it's time to have a bit back to the drawing board, I think. So we've got some fun ideas. So we will look that over and work it all out. But I can say if you've been listening to us, thanks heaps. We're not going anywhere. We appreciate all the listeners. We'll figure out how to make it in the same feed. We'll make things sort of seamless over on the social media. We'll figure it all out. You know what I mean? Like Okada at Okada Shorts will still be like formally known as, and it'll link to it. You know, we'll just do all that stuff. We'll figure it out. But I think it'll.
No. We'll make Ryan figure it out.
Oh, that's what I mean. I'm absolutely not doing it. Ryan's going to do everything. He doesn't know that yet, but I imagine he assumes he's going to do anything. Shout out Ryan from Countout Network. But we're lucky as well in that we have the support of Countout, and they're very. Do whatever you want, you know. He's like, I think you guys have got plenty of legs. It's not all just based around the name. So he was like, do whatever you want. So, which we will. So, yeah, I'm feeling good about it.
What we've always done and what we always will do.
And what we always will do. And if we don't feel like doing this anymore, we'll just stop. So it doesn't really fucking matter. So
what we can just name the title fucking Rafe and Curtis Talk Wrestling.
To be honest, I had some names as well that were sort of like negative-esque, like, Can't We Just All Enjoy Wrestling was the name of the show. Like, Just Let Me Enjoy Wrestling was the name of it. Why Do I Watch Wrestling was like these were literal names I was writing down. I'm like, they're all very negative. Like they're all very fucking attacky. Like
speaking of negative, I've been feeling negative for the last few days.
Sure.
I have.
You were emotionally affected. We all were. And I was, before you tell your story, I just want to point out, and because this will make you laugh, and I was talking to Amy about it on the phone, and she was like, I didn't want to bring it up because I'm so sad about it. Okada's her favorite dude. It has been for a while. And I go, look, I know it sucks, but it's wrestling. Everybody moves on. I said, one good thing about New Japan is they always, you know, have somebody else up. You know, and you enjoyed when you watch Wrestle Kingdom, there's a lot of young guys coming up. There's a lot of, you know, cool spots. I'm sure they'll do something really great with all this young talent. And she goes, yeah, Rafe, I know, but they're boys and I need a man. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, I'm feeling targeted, but also she has a point.
Oh no. So my wife, like, she knows Okada. She knows that, like, I love Okada. I told her, like, Okada's leaving, blah blah blah, this is huge, me and Rafe are gonna have to change the name of the podcast. She's like, yeah, is Okan going anywhere? I'm like, no, you're right.
It just completely bypasses your fucking concerns and just checks in on her favorite dude. I love that.
Yeah, no, it's like she knows that contract season is always kind of tough for me because we always kind of got to watch our heels every like after Wrestle Kingdom every January.
Absolutely. She knows
that we're always like.
And you know what? Everybody thought that New Japan was absolutely fucked when Nakamura, AJ Styles, and the Good Brothers all left on the same fucking day. You know what I mean? And what happened? Even better wrestling. And so now. Well, listen,
I've always said it's always next man up. Like,
yeah.
When Nakamura and AJ Styles left, it was time for Naito and Kenny Omega to step up.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega left, it was time for Jay White to step up. It was time for Will Ospreay to step up. You know, like, that's the thing. It's just going to be so fucking hard to next man up when fucking Will Ospreay and Kazuchika Okada are leaving together.
Because, like, if Okada just goes, then next man up, you just fucking put Ospreay straight in, right? Like, it's almost like the guys that the were at the top and next manning each other have both gone at the same time. And obviously Jay as well is another one. If Jay was still around and Okada goes, you're like, fucking Jay's the champ or whatever. Like, but it really does feel like there is a tier of New Japan that has been filleted straight off the top. And I'm talking like the guys on the fucking poster. You're talking Okada, you're talking Will, you're talking Jay White, you're talking Tanahashi's downcycling. You know, Naito, he's the champion, yes, but we all know about his medical issues and things like that. He doesn't feel like he's Naito of a few years ago. Sonata's right there, but like he's not hitting for me kind of thing. And so it kind of feels like the top tier of New Japan right now, it always felt like, well, it's fine because Okada can carry it. And then he's gone and you're like, okay, now we're actually jumping an entire step rung under, rung under. And I enjoy them, but I don't feel like Tai Chi, Okan, David Finlay, I don't feel like those guys carry the same amount of star power as the guys we've mentioned. And I don't think like they all necessarily have maybe even the match sort of quality or resume, not to say they can't do it, but as those guys that we mentioned. But then so we're almost all looking at the rung under them, which is crazy because everybody's like, oh, it's cool. You know, the Shooter, there's Ren, there's fucking Suji. Those guys have been back in the company for 2 minutes. They were young lions 5 seconds ago, but everyone's like straight to the top with them. And it's like going to be so interesting to see if that's what New Japan do. And then how exciting is that if they've just got these young, super young, brand new, unknown people in all their main spots is crazy because it's a complete company reboot.
It really is. And I think, you know, contract season's not over yet. It's the 21st. Contracts run out on the 31st. Mm-hmm. So we've still got teases. And you and I, okay. We aren't a news podcast.
Yeah.
We don't break stories here.
Nah, I don't care.
They get
broken on us and they get broken hard.
Yeah, they get broken on us. And but we know people who do news podcasts and we've got connections inside the world. Mm-hmm. And you know, there have been rumors for months that this was happening. We've heard rumors of a talent exodus, mm-hmm. and we've seen that beginning.
Yeah.
And there's still other talents that are supposedly on, you know, on the chopping block or on their way out and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, even today, fucking Jeff Cobb was teasing leaving. So this is tough. This is real tough. Mm-hmm. But we can take a moment. And I said this on to you. I said this on Twitter. I said, you know, this, I'm going to take a day mm-hmm. and I'm going to be real fucking pissed. And then after that, I'm going to look towards the future. I love the company. I love Okada. Mm-hmm. Okada, like, carried the company for me for years. Mm-hmm. I'm an Okada fan. Mm-hmm. Like, when we were talking about Will Ospreay isn't going to get me to watch AEW, like, Okada might get me to watch AEW.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
At least matches for you.
At least
matches. Like, if they turn around and they run, you know, Okada and Kenny 5 or 6 or whatever it is in, you know, end of the year. I know Kenny's out, but you know what I mean? Down the future. Or you start to go, oh, fuck, what does Okada versus Swerve look like? You know what I mean? You start thinking about combinations like that and you're like, oh, actually, there could be some really cool Okada versus MJF. Like, what the fuck? Like, these are interesting combinations that really work. The problem I have with all the talent getting signed up is that all the American companies that sign all these fucking dudes have people in fucking catering that can headline shows that they just do nothing with. So I'm like, cool, they get him now while he's the shiny toy and then they run him for a while and then he's in catering for a year. You know what I mean? Like, or do they know how big a franchise player is and then build the entire company around him? You know, if he signs with WWE, does he debut at WrestleMania as the fucking Rainmaker and just fucking walk into the title picture? Or do they have him in an all-Japanese stable with fucking Shinsuke Nakamura and Asuka as like, here's the comedy Japanese faction? You know what I mean? Like his treatment could be
anywhere.
Headlining NXT anywhere. For a, you know what I mean? So you just don't know what is going to happen. But I do know that he is really the best in one of the worlds, in the world. So if he's given the opportunity, he'll kill it. But for us, it's going to be a real fucking, it's going to be a real rebuild situation. And I hope they spice it up a bit. I think Okada was launched into popularity because of that Rainmaker shock, and it's not the kind of thing that they do super often in New Japan, but they might just need to fucking wild out for a bit. I know they're like slow and steady building, but when you like lose so many guys and so much kind of shocking shit happens, you need to sort of respond and do exciting, unexpected stuff.
Here's the thing. Did you know that Okada's final match in New Japan is the day before the anniversary of the Rainmaker shock?
Is it?
Yeah. His final match is at New Beginning with Tanahashi. And that's he's going to be on his way out there. And it's February 11th. February 12th was the anniversary of the Rainmaker shock.
Yeah, so they're literally going to like bookend his career with Tanahashi fucking putting him out. He walked into the company over Tanahashi, and then Tanahashi sends him out. And he's like, you know what? The entire time you were here, I was still fucking here, and I was here to send you out the fucking door as the president of the company. Fucking lay down, man. Brother. 1, 2, 3. This is how we do it. Fucking let's go. Also, that's
meanwhile,
sick TMDK
Fujita pinning him to take the fucking six-man title.
Exactly. I'm sure that match was coming around and it was probably going to go the six-mans, but instead of like a Shane Hayes pinning an Ishii, it's a Fuge pin and fucking Okada fucking let's straight go. Out Rainmaker's his own finisher, like just bury the motherfucker right here.
No, he's gonna use that exact same fucking Yave move that Okada used on him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yave.
Who's the young boy now, bitch?
Yeah, exactly. That would be sick. So I think he'd do the right thing. I think Okada needs to lay out his back for the last couple of matches there and fucking put him over because, they don't have the time to fucking put him in a program real quick or like have him, you know, going out with a fucking program against Shooter or anything like that. Like he's just doing this last tour and he's out. So they don't really have the time.
It's so funny because if he had the time, if they had put him out, if he had let them know 4, 5, 6 months ago, like I'm leaving at the end of February, like they could have built towards Wrestle Kingdom and they could have had him in a match with.
You'd have to absolutely think that he knew he was going to leave and he purposely didn't give them that much notice because he wanted to keep his stocks as high as possible. He's not a fucking idiot.
God, I don't want to think that he's that business minded, although he probably is. But
I don't know if he is, but when you start getting agents like fucking
Bloom
and stuff like that, these are the things they're telling you to do. You know what I mean? They're like, really? And that's why you pay them. You know what I mean? Like he would have had dudes go, look, this is the guy you need to talk to, do all the things he said and get the max amount of money, you know. That said, Will Ospreay went out on his fucking back, you know, like as often as he could almost, or at least putting people over as best as he could before he went.
Yeah, and I don't know if they would have done anything different because they wanted to have the Dragon versus Rainmaker.
Yeah, and you're not going to put Danielson over. So, you know.
Would they have sacrificed that to put Shooter there? Would they have sacrificed that to put Yuya Uemura there?
Nah, because they want to sell the tickets. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, would they have had Rainmaker versus Yuya on New Beginning? Yeah, probably. Mm. But, like, is that going to be a big enough stage for like people are always going to be like, oh, this isn't, you know, right now they're saying Okada didn't put anybody over on their way out. None of the kids are going to get their win back. Okay. Yeah. No, Kaito's not getting his win back. No, fucking Yuya's not getting a win. You know, nobody's given anybody an inch here. If you had had Kaito versus Okada on New Beginning and Kaito got his win back, first off, that's not as big a stage as Wrestle Kingdom.
Nah.
And Kaito is not a New Japan fucking pro wrestler.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Kaito is a fucking Noah contracted wrestler. Although the chances of fucking Kaito getting, you know, scalped away from Noah is gone through the fucking roof, really.
Yeah, yeah. Especially now they're like, you know.
Especially now.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I think as well, like, you'd have to say what you want, though. Like, Okada's worked very hard for them for a long time. And there'd be a part of them that'd be like, we don't want to lose him. But at the end of the day, if he's got this opportunity, we've got to, like, back him in. You know what I mean? We've got to see him go forward, especially if he ends up with, like, an AEW. We've got an ongoing working relationship. We can still do stuff with him. We could still have him have that match and maybe take a loss down the road or whatever. You know, you don't want to burn people, and they need to be more professional than that. You can't just, like, lock everybody down forever, and especially when you're New Japan that doesn't really do long-term contracts anyway, you've got to expect that this stuff happens sometimes, you know? Like, yeah. Fucking lock him in that Kota Ibushi forever contract, fucking if you were going to, you know? But they didn't, and so then this is what happens. Like,
yeah, the Kota Ibushi contract worked out, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I guess don't fucking talk shit and make a dude's mum almost kill himself and then fucking have him blow up all your shit online. And yeah, I don't know.
Fuck, man. What a shit show.
Yeah, that was an absolute
shit. What a fucking shit show everything was.
Yeah. I mean, his life is still a shit show. Fucking hell. Anyway, let's move on from it for now. I'm sure we'll have more talking points to go forward, especially as we change and rebrand and do things. Let's just vibe for a bit. Let's not take forever, but let's rewind, right? Let's rewind to greater days. We didn't get a chance to touch base after Wrestle Kingdom, which we both really enjoyed. A lot of personal stuff going on. We're through that now. So let's just vibe on Wrestle Kingdom a little bit, because it was one that we felt had a bit of a colder build. But I think it's probably pretty safe to say that we both had a pretty great time watching it, right?
And it's funny that this has happened a couple of years in a row now, because like we've both gone into Wrestle Kingdom cold, mm-hmm. and been really happy with what we got when it came out. Like, you were so cold on Wrestle Kingdom last year that you were like, I'm going to build a Wrestle Kingdom card with people who aren't on Wrestle Kingdom. And yeah. I think it's going to be better. And it was a great card, I will say.
I mean, it was a pretty good card. If you haven't like listened to that show, go back and check it out where Curtis and I essentially do the Thanos scenario where we're like, imagine that Wrestle Kingdom is about to happen. And fucking Thanos snaps his fingers and everybody that's on the Wrestle Kingdom card disappears. And then you have to rebook Wrestle Kingdom with all the talent that aren't on the show. And so that led to some really fun scenarios. And we'll talk like fantasy booking cards and stuff like that. We had heaps of fun. We were going to do it again this year, but this year just, it didn't really work out for us like with our own lives. You know, there was a lot of personal stuff going on. It just wasn't really feasible. We might do something like that on another show later this year. But I think it's pretty safe to say that we had a real good time, and we ended up sort of like live tweeting each other while it was happening, and with the Stiff Boys as well, and we were having a great time. Well, until Dave fell asleep.
This year was tons of fun. We weren't live tweeting with Josh. Josh was in the building, but yeah, us and Dave in our little group chat there.
Yeah,
that was a good time. I love those guys.
Yeah.
Now, Wrestle Kingdom. You know, but there were so many people that were like, oh, the first like four or five matches weren't that good. And it's like, dude, that is the undercard. Mm-hmm. The undercard. Take the top four matches. What'd you have? You had the three-way with Ospreay, Mox, and Finley. Mm-hmm. You had Okada versus Danielson. Mm-hmm. You had the world title match and the junior title match. Mm-hmm. Those four matches, put those against any other show's main events, mm-hmm. for the rest of the year. Put it up against Double or Nothing. Put it up against fucking WrestleMania, night one, night two, night three from the fucking, you know, whatever. Those four matches, on a New Japan Pro Wrestling card will either go toe-to-toe or fucking clear every one of them, 100%.
Yeah.
So when you look at the undercard and you go, oh, I don't know, I didn't like the junior tag team match that much. Fuck you. The junior tag team match was fun. It was fine. It was a good match. Yeah, it was a little weird with the whole like zombie thing.
But they like, you know, like, they fucking throw shit at the wall and they introduce like a new character or a new persona. It's obviously he's not doing it all the time now, but it was just like a fun, different thing. And it had people talking. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
TJP's got his own great Muda. It's cool. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. When you say, oh, I didn't care for the undercard. Okay. Did you like those last four matches? That was banger, 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 banger. Yeah, you fucking did. That last match was so good, and the storyline that came out of it was so good. People were apologizing to Sonata.
I'm not people one
were
of like, them.
But... We're sorry, Sonata. You your run wasn't that bad. Yeah, you came out. He came out of losing the title and came out with more fans than he went in with.
I think that's a very fair thing to say. Let's run him back in order, but I think his last moments in after that match did more for him character wise than his whole run. You know what I mean? Like, it all led up to that moment where he was able to essentially stand by his friend, and that was pretty awesome. But yeah, let's run them through. I thought the Rambo was super fun. I mean, that's a pre-show. Everybody gets a look in. There's some great fun stuff. I didn't love the final four choice, but I think it was really fun, and it also led to what we know now when we talk about New Year's Dash, an opportunity for a junior to stand outside the junior division and then lead to, you know, a match and a program and a story with Great O'Khan, which is really cool.
Can we talk about Great O'Khan? What is going on with Great O'Khan? Have they just decided that he's not there? Have they just decided that he's...
Nah, I think they know that everybody wants him to have it so bad, like they want it so bad that they're really making us wait for it. They're doing that undercard. Sorry. Like once, you know, Ishimori managed to steal it, he didn't just like win it. You know what I mean? He fucking got away with it. Literally ran away with it. And so now he's going to have to fight O'Khan 101. And
which he did last night.
Oh, did he? I haven't seen it. What happened?
He lost.
O'Khan lost.
Won. O'Khan is the king of pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did he just, I was about to say, and surely O'Khan just stomps him. Did O'Khan just murder him? Was it a squash?
No.
Okay.
So the match itself was a Ishimori ring fit match. So what happened is they would wrestle. It's like a British rounds match.
Okay.
They would wrestle. They'd wrestle for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they had 30 seconds where they would have to do calisthenics. And of course, Ishimori is fucking shredded.
Yeah.
And he's just the fastest boy alive.
Yeah.
Fast as fuck, boy.
Yeah.
And
fast as fuck, boy.
So they wrestle for 3 minutes. O'Khan's kind of like got him in a fucking hurt locker, right? And then the bell rings and he's immediately has to, and he's got to then do like jumping jacks and mountain climbers and shit like that. And then Ishimori's still like running around him, and he's just, the sweat was literally pouring off of him.
Oh,
pouring off of him. So they had 3 minutes calisthenics, 3 minutes calisthenics, 3 minutes calisthenics, and then a final 1 minute. And fucking, it came down to it basically like, Ishimori like grabbed the title. He was going to run off again because O'Khan was failing at the calisthenics. So Ishimori was like scoring points or whatever.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And the very last thing is fucking O'Khan's trying to get him in the Dominator.
Yeah.
He's trying to hit him with that fucking facepalm choke slam.
Yeah, that lion claw choke slam thing he does. Yep.
I love that shit. Yes. And so he's trying, and Ishimori's just running around him because he's so tired. He's all spaghetti legged and shit like that. Finally clobbers him with the fucking Dominator. And he's got his hands on the belt at the very end of the match.
Yeah.
And that's, so they're like, okay, you're the king of pro wrestling now, I guess. So there it is.
There you go.
So now, now we have the Great O'Khan's singles title run. Mm-hmm. That guy's going to do some weird fucking shit, man.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. We thought
I'm kind of worried.
We thought that Taichi would be the dude who brought back Gon Ryojima Island.
Yeah.
I think we might be seeing Gonryajima Island again with the Great Okan.
Yeah.
Like the Great Okan. And he's got a new theme. He's got it's like
show was last night that I mean there's no way I could have watched it.
New Beginning in Nagoya.
Oh, fuck.
It was the first of their big new beginning shows.
Yeah, see, we held off doing the Wrestle Kingdom review straight away because we were like, well, may as well wait for Battle in the Valley and get that through because that's all the big shows out of the way before they start the thing. I didn't realize New Beginning in Nagoya would pop off as well.
Yeah, dude. So we've got Tama got beat for the
title. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I do want to talk about this, but maybe we should keep going through the card and then any ramifications, we'll bring it up as it goes. So anyway, all of that stuff with the Rambo led to the New Year's Dash thing, which then led to now and Okan getting his way. So they made people wait for it. Then there was obviously the match that we spoke about, which was the junior heavyweight tag with the Arzwang and all that kind of thing. I was a bit disappointed that the fucking all-white, brand-new belted War Dogs did not win it, but I am hopeful that they will win that back soon.
Brand-new white belts for 20 minutes? What did they – like they brought out these brands and then lost them right away.
Yeah, I don't know.
What the fuck?
I guess it's a misdirect was the vibe, I guess.
I guess.
I don't know. Then 15-minute NJPW World TV Championship match, Tanahashi defeating Zack Sabre Jr. Now, I was into this because, like, wasn't, you know, my favorite Tanahashi Wrestle Kingdom match or anything like that, but it's a good title for him to be on for two reasons. One, he's the new president. B, he's now a champion. It is the 15-minute matches. He'll be the one for free on New Japan World. You're seeing the president. You're seeing him wrestling people. He's looking great. He's wearing the belt. He's got feathers on. Sick. And then also free Zach up, because I think we both really agree and a lot of people agree that it's probably time for Zach to become the foreign ace of New Japan. I think he's ready.
Absolutely.
He's different to all the other fucking Western wrestlers. He lives in Japan. He's dedicated to it. They know that. He's one of the roster and he's really one of them. So I think absolutely he needs to be freed up and I'd love to see him in the world title picture. How are you feeling about that? Tanahashi having that belt, Zach moving on.
I think that's probably the best thing they can do right now. Tanahashi, in matches where he doesn't have to go 30 minutes is probably the best idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought maybe they could downcycle and put him in a tag team match. That's fine. 15-minute time limit events is fine.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Zach moving on is the move. Mm-hmm. Zach Sabre Jr. G1 winner.
Yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr., Mr. New Japan Cup.
Yeah.
You know, let's something.
Go. Let's go. Something. Well, I mean, he's already won New Japan Cup a couple of times. So I would like to either see him win New Japan Cup again, like this is my tournament, go on and then win the title immediately because of that, or loses out and then wins G1. Like, I think either way would be a good way to go. I'd love to see him in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. Him versus whoever's holding the belt at that time, I think would be really good.
It would be good. It would be good. Now, as far as I know, Zach hasn't re-upped his contract yet.
He's not going to go anywhere, though. I really don't see him going anywhere. I could be wrong, but he lives in Japan. You know what I mean? Like, and has. Like, all the COVID and stuff happened, he stayed there. He said it before in interviews and stuff. He's like, I'm not like all these other fucking cunts. Like, he's like, I am a New Japan wrestler. He's like, and I don't want to leave Japan. I don't want to fucking – he's turned down WWE contracts and shit. Like, I don't see him going anyway. He's probably just holding out to fucking get that fucking money that Will has freed up.
Will and
Okada. Suddenly that fucking bank balance is looking a little bit nicer. And fucking contract Team DK as well while you're there.
Yeah, this is a sport with no like, pay ceiling. There's no cap limit here.
Yeah, yeah.
Lock him down for the next few years.
Absolutely.
Zack Sabre Jr. and Tanahashi is always a fun time. Uh-huh. It's a match I've seen live a couple of times. I know you've seen it live uh-huh. before, right? Uh-huh. It's always a fun time. They never fail to put on a good show. Uh-huh. So I was fine with it. I know that's the belt for the young kids and blah, blah, blah. But you know, Tanahashi versus Yuya for that belt's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Tanahashi versus, you know, Kaito Kiyomiya for that belt's going to be fucking good. Yeah. Let's go.
And those are the kind of challenges you'll probably see, I imagine. They will spotlight those young guys when they're fucking wrestling the fucking, you know, franchise player of New Japan. So that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Exactly. After that was the 30-minute special singles match between Yota Tsuji and Uemura, Yuya getting his first win over his nemesis Tsuji.
Yeah, his not his first win ever, but
his first big singles big win since returning. I should probably stipulate. Yeah,
this match was. It's fucking scary because now I know everything is up for grabs. But, you know, Tony Khan was live tweeting this match, talking about how much he liked it and stuff. And it's like, you fucking stay away.
Yeah, stop looking. You close your eyes.
Keep your dirty fucking billionaire money away from our boys. Mm-hmm. And I wish like Tony Khan's like mom was there to like put her hands over his eyes like my mom used to do when there was boobs in a movie. You know?
Well, just be like, no. You've got enough for now.
Exactly. But yeah, no, this was good. Like people were saying that they, you know, oh, this needed to be more. It's like, bro, these guys just came back.
Yeah.
Just came back. Mm-hmm. They are getting established. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're 29, 30 years old, whatever. They're going to hit that stride.
Yeah. It's also fourth match on the card. They're not supposed to be the fucking headliner. So,
like, they're going to hit that stride soon. There's so many people that, like, you can tell that just parachute in for Wrestle Kingdom because they're like, oh, that wasn't five-star main event, blah, 30 fucking minutes. No, it wasn't, dude. It's the fourth match on the card. Calm down.
Those are coming.
Yes, Yuya and Tsuji will have the, you know, Wrestle Kingdom main event 30-minute fucking masterpiece, and it'll happen soon, but not every match is a Wrestle Kingdom 30-minute like main event masterpiece.
Plant these stories and make these guys walk before they can run, right? So In X amount of years when they're playing the fucking hype-up packages for these two guys for the title in the fucking Dome, they can be playing back their entire history of constantly drawing as fucking young lions against each other, then going off on their individual stories, then coming back. Like all the shit that they just did with that Sonata and Naito package, they have to build all that stuff. That actually has to really happen in real life in order for it to have weight when it happens in 2, 3, 4 years, whatever, you know, like, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to do the things in order to call back to the things. So that's what they're doing. They're making generational rivals, like in those two guys. They'll be fighting forever. Like.
Exactly. You have to. Naito's big win is because Naito wasn't in the main event for so long. Mm-hmm. Naito's big moment at Wrestle Kingdom this year was 10 years in the making, or longer before that, because he had challenged for the belt before then.
Yeah. Well, I saw him lose in the Dome. I saw him win in the Dome and then have his moment ruined. And then, you know, it's 3 years later or something like that, you know, 3, 4 years later before he then eventually gets his moment, you know, like those kind of things, that time has to really happen for it to have the weight behind it.
That's exactly it. Like, I think that one of my favorite matches of all time was the 40th anniversary show. The Stardust Genius Naito versus Okada in Korakuen, mm-hmm. like for the title. That was one of the first, like, oh my God, Okada's the fucking man. And also this Naito guy is going to go there for me.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So like that was 2012.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and it's now 2024. It's like 12 years.
Bro. Like you gotta let these boys grow.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta let
absolutely.
Them grow.
And it's easy to, you know, have our knee-jerk reactions and hot takes, but all the things that we claim to like New Japan for are those frustrating things in the moment that end up paying off in the end. But speaking of generational rivals that will be fighting forever, the next match was Shota Umino and Kaito Kiyomiya versus Evil and Ren Narita. Now, Shota and Ren are essentially set up to fight forever. You know what I mean? They're the generational rivals that will happen. I mean, this tag was like 7 minutes. It was kind of – it was just a bit of a piss break, really. It was like, just throw them in there, let you see everybody, bit of cheats, out the door. It definitely wasn't the blow-off to their feud. It was just kind of continuing it, you know, lay some seeds in and things like that. It was just to be on the card and make sure that everybody sees these guys.
Yeah, and I think giving Kaito a little taste of what it's like to play with sold-out.
And also letting more people see how evil Ren is now. You know, establishing him as a cheating douchebag like is important.
Yeah, I think the everybody came out of this match looking better. You know, you didn't have anyone looking like an asshole because of House of Torture stuff. It was just, it was a good match.
It was good. Oiwa got to walk down with him. Fucking people get to see him. All that kind of stuff. Amy likes Oiwa now. She was like,
who's that fucking shot? Big he one? Said,
yeah.
Oiwa's called a shot. He said, you know, fucking Okada's gone now. It's Oiwa time.
Oh, really? He's saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He says, I'm coming back for that spot.
He's like, everybody knows that you need O's in New Japan. It's Ospreys, right. It's Omegas, it's Okadas, and it's Oiwas. There you go.
That's right. That's right. Believe it. Believe it. It's coming.
I can move that motion sensor near my door that turns on the lights and fucking just blinded myself. Okay, Google, turn lights to purple. Fucking blinding me, Jesus Christ. Next match, and you've got news for me as per things that have happened, was probably my biggest shocker of the night because I really wasn't expecting anything for it. I felt like it was ice cold. I felt like it was pointless. Tama Tonga versus Shingo Takagi. But of course, don't know why I fucking doubted that Shingo would put on the fucking match of the night. These guys just started the match in the last third of the match, if that makes sense. You know, there was none of that traditional New Japan build up. It was just fucking all go, no quit from like the first second. And it was really fucking good. Everybody that was watching it with me, my wife, my friends and stuff were like, whoa, this is crazy. And it really, we were all talking and we were drinking and we're sort of watching the matches and stuff like that. This was the first match where we all started watching Wrestle Kingdom, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like we started actively watching it, and I thought it was really good. I thought it was Tama's best showing. What did you think of the match? And then tell me what happened at New Beginning with him. Obviously, and after this, he announces his retirement as well. I mean, not retirement, but leaving New Japan.
Yeah. So there's another person on the way out that nobody's really sad to see him go. He's been there for 14, 15 years, he can go somewhere else. And
yeah, it's not really that like I even don't like him or anything. And I think there's definitely like after this, if he was to stay around, I think you would see more from Tama Tonga. And I was kind of like, okay, now he's finally got the title after being robbed a bunch of times. I'm interested to see where this Tama run finally goes. Obviously, he announces he's leaving the company and we're not going to get to see that. And that's fine, but he's not one of my favorites. So, you know, I'm not going to have the same heartbreak reaction as I am with like an Ospreay or an Okada. You know, that's not going to happen. But, you know, I don't even think he's announced where he's going and I don't even know who's even looking at him or if they are. You know, you might just see him starting to pop up on the indies and stuff like that. But if it, you know, he's talking family stuff and he just can't go to Japan anymore, then fair enough.
I think he could definitely make some noise in like a rebranded TNA.
Yeah.
Would be a good place. Oh,
you
could
see him like the fucking TNA champion. Easy. Like,
oh, yeah, dude. Because, like, who did they just signed the former Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth.
Yeah.
I could see Nick Nemeth versus Tama Tonga.
Yeah. Or, like, you know what? I could even see him. I don't even know if they would do it, but there's definitely worse people they could bring in. You could bring a Tama Tonga into fucking WWE and put him in that bloodline situation as like bringing in like another one of like he's a legit Roman Reigns' cousin, I'm quite sure. And they've had back and forths on Twitter and things before. You could bring him in as like an enforcer or another person with that and nobody bat an eyelid. Looks great. He could wrestle that fucking WWE house style so fucking well. He can turn it up when he needs to. He could be a huge star in WWE if somebody wanted to push him. You know, he's fucking, you know, with his lineage, with his dad and stuff like that, he has all the fucking tools to succeed in that company. You just need somebody to push him, you know. But he's older now.
Feel free to take Tongaloa with you. Just go ahead.
Let's go. Let's take him. Yeah. But yeah, bring him in as a tag team. I mean, they've fucking got so many friends there. You know what I mean? He's arguably got closer friends in WWE even than he maybe does in AEW, you know, because he's obviously very good friends with Prince Devitt. You know, he has relatives in fucking Reigns and stuff like that. You know, Gallows and Anderson, like, you know, you could see him doing WWE.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was such a shock that, like, he gets the Shingo match. Mm-hmm. Shingo match, like, people look forward to the Shingo match every
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And he gets it, and then immediately, like, first off, why? You know?
Oh, I feel like he announced, like, had not told them before the show that he's going to be leaving.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, there's no way you get that win. You know, like, I think he said it spur of the moment, and then that's why he then immediately dropped it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a plan.
Or he told him that day or something.
And they're like, you know what? Let's see it through as a thank you for 1,000 years of working here, and then we'll see it out the door on the thing. Whatever.
Yeah, here's your fourth V0 fucking title reign. No, I'm sorry, three. I got corrected on that. He's had three V0 never title runs in the last 2 years, and one was a V1. Like, I'd be frustrated looking for other fucking venues as well if they were like, have a never title. Joking, have a never title. Just kidding.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, that was his story, though, because when he lost it without defending it or whatever, it was to his fucking best mate, Carl Anderson, and that whole story they wanted to tell. You know what I mean? He was absolutely a part of that whole thing and wanting it to happen, because the idea was like his senpai comes back.
So the second reign should have been him actually going on a run with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, would absolutely agree with that.
But that was a V1 title reign.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he got it again.
And what did they do? Did they drop it off him and give it to Shingo? Because they – no. Who took it off him? Who fucking cares? Who's taking it off him now?
Evil.
Oh, okay. So Evil's the never champ now.
Evil is the never champ.
I thought for sure Shingo just takes it back.
Evil and Tama Tonga had a singles match, which meant the House of Torture came down and caused all sorts of shit. But G.O.D. also came down and things descended into chaos. It was madness. Mm. Ren Narita absolutely destroyed him with the push-up bar. And Evil escapes with the never title.
So he didn't. He didn't even lose it clean.
No.
Oh, okay.
And well, then Tama closed the show with a thank you and goodbye.
Yeah. Okay. Oh well, they gave him a send off then, and they didn't even fucking really make him lose on the way out. So obviously they're in good terms with him.
Yeah.
Because they didn't just squash him or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's fucking worked there for a long time and put in a lot of fucking, you know, it's not easy doing what the Western wrestlers do, especially through all that COVID stuff. And that. So it's nice that they fucking nodded him. Maybe he did give them notice and they were like, you know what, you can still take it. We'll fucking wrap this up. Who cares? It's never. But like, let's see you out the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't hate Evil having it. That's fine. Whatever. Stay over there. That's good. All right.
It's all good.
Next up, speaking of G.O.D., was the IWGP tag team and strong openweight tag team championship match, Bishamon versus G.O.D., El Fantasma and Hikuleo, with ELP and Hikuleo taking the win. Fun little match. I preferred their last one better. I preferred their, like, tag final better. But, I mean, they only had, like, 9.5 minutes. So
It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I thought they might have a lot more time. Mm. I mean, their last match went 40, so you could tell they kind of like blew a little bit of their wad there. Mm-hmm. They kind of had to fill 40 entire minutes. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen maybe a little bit extra time. I would have liked to have seen a heavyweight finisher from ELP. He still doesn't have a heavyweight finisher.
I don't love the Hikuleo splash finisher.
That was not good.
Because he's not very good at it yet, you know? And so, like, yeah. I understand it. Big man coming off the top, very shocking. But unless you can really, like, nail it, then it kind of loses its vibe.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It just wasn't, it wasn't great. I would have preferred to have seen a big heavyweight finisher, like I said, from ELP. He still doesn't have one of those.
I guess they're saving that for when he's doing, when he's on his singles push, right? Like, do you really want to bring it out as the reason he's winning tag matches?
Well, I mean, this is kind of, well, you know, you're right. Like, we don't really have a baby face, you know, foreigner wrestler that they can be pushed to the moon right now. Maybe it is going to be ELP. Yeah. He's connected as a huge baby face right now. Mm-hmm. He and Hikuleo together are getting all the love in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're a big hit with the ladies. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're a big hit with the fans. Mm-hmm. And maybe it'll be down the road, but I think, like, why not strike while the iron's hot and really let these two like go on a fucking tear?
Yeah. It's not going to hurt anybody. So, yeah.
It's not going to hurt anybody.
No, we will see where that goes. Next up was the...
If ELP stays, because from what I understand, he hasn't signed an extension yet either.
Well, a lot of these guys are apparently on, you know, the yen is down, and that means pay cuts for them, essentially. You know, they're not earning the same they have, and, you know, there's kind of whispers that that's not okay. So, yeah, we'll see what actually kind of plays out there, and we know he has contacts elsewhere. But, yeah, next up after that, IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match, Hiromu versus El Desperado. Now, this one started with a bit of a weird vibe for me, with just, like, Despy coming out in a strong style shirt, a faction that essentially doesn't exist anymore, just like fucking super chill. And I was like, he doesn't give a fuck about this. But then that was actually the point. Because the moment Hiromu fucking got in that ring, he just gets lit up essentially for fucking 14 minutes and Despy wins.
I loved it.
I loved it too. I loved it.
Yeah, we had talked about this ahead of time. Like, did we really think that Despy winning would be the best thing to do? Because you did. You thought, just put it on Despy, get it off of Hiromu.
Yeah.
And I wanted Hiromu to go on a roll and, like, drop it to someone like a Fujita or a Wado, mm-hmm. and shine the belt up real nice for them. But it just seemed like this was just another great match between them. Don't get me wrong, but it was just another match between them. It wasn't like the next evolution, because, like, they're going to be going different places.
It really felt like, in the time that Hiromu had been on this run, you know, and we know that champions, you know, defending a belt takes fucking years off your career. You know what I mean? He's doing all these big fights. He's beating everybody. He's wearing him down. Desperado's been over here doing his own thing. He's hardly even been in New Japan. He's doing death matches and he's doing shit like that. And he was just at commentary, and Hiromu just got a bit too big for himself and was like, I've beaten everybody. I want to verse my greatest rival again, Despy. And Despy's like, I'm sorry, what you say, motherfucker? And he's like, oh, I want you to essentially cut to the front of the line and come for me. And he's like, fine with me. And they just beat the living fuck out of him, because he's beyond that now. Like, Despy feels like he's fucking borderline a heavyweight wrestler, you know? And it just showed that, like, Hiromu got to a certain point and he just thought he had it all fucking figured out. Meanwhile, Despy's just been getting meaner. He's been getting stronger and meaner and fucking more battle-hardened. And he's like, let's go. And then he just beat the fuck out of him and just took it off him. And it's like, and that's reality. Like, that's it. Yeah. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's fucking it. And if you're going to, like, build a new division with, like, all these fucking new dudes and stuff, and you want to freshen it up, there's nothing wrong with, like, a fucking hardcore Despy standing at the top and all these young guys come for him and him just pushing them all back down the hill, like, over and over. Like, I'm really into it now that he's fucking got it.
And that's fair. Mm-hmm. That's really fair. I think I want Despy to jump up, though.
Me too. I would love that. But that would never happen with him losing then. I would almost like to see him jump up and just fucking relinquish the belt and go, I'm beyond it now. I've beaten all these fucking losers. I think we all know where I need to go. Have a tournament for this piece of shit. I'm going to heavyweight. That would be cool.
That would be actually really cool. I don't know if that's how they're going to do
no,
it.
No, no, because that's disrespecting things, right? The belt and shit. It's not really the way New Japan do it.
Yeah.
They like for this piece right. of shit, he just throws it.
make BOSJ the tournament, like whoever wins BOSJ becomes the champion this year or something like that. That'd be fucking sweet.
Have the company strip him of it because he's too fucking powerful. They're like, look, nobody's ever gonna beat you, man. You're too brutal. We gotta move you on.
You're gonna go on fucking V67.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
All time title run. It's fucking 2029.
Yeah. Exactly. But as you said, they've had more classic ones and stuff, but it was a bit of fun and it was a good time. After that was the Global Heavyweight Championship, inaugural championship three-way between Ospreay, Moxley, and Finlay, with Finlay...
Dog for real.
Yeah, exactly.
Dog for real.
Debuting a new finisher and becoming the fucking new champion. How did you feel about this match?
I had a ton of fun with this match. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was the right result. Mm-hmm. I thought everyone in the match was locked in. Mm-hmm. Fucking Will Ospreay does not let people look bad in matches. Mm-hmm. Fucking Mox always out there. When shit gets real, mm-hmm. Mox gets real. And I fucking love it.
He's great.
And David Finlay kept up. Mm-hmm. Everyone was like, oh, David Finlay can't. Dude, David Finlay hung every second with two of the best in the world.
And
right
he was
now.
Working hard too. He was really fucking taking
he
a lot
really
of it.
Really like, was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk your shit about David Finlay being a little bit out of shape. Talk your shit about him being a little bit of a dork. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch that match. Mm-hmm. He was in there. Mm-hmm. David Finlay was holding that fucking flag with the rest of them. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought it was the right fucking moment mm-hmm. for David Finlay. I thought it was the right fucking result for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And we got a great Alex Coughlin meme out of it.
Yeah, him through the table was great. I love that the War Dogs got involved. That was really cool.
Tons of fun.
And I think it's like a real nice signature win for him to hang his hat on. The first champion of this beating these guys, you know, it's like the fucking Jericho beat Stone Cold and The Rock on the same night. He can be like, I beat Ospreay and Moxley on the same night. Who those champions over at AEW? I already beat those guys. This is the fucking number one belt. He can talk all that shit. It just gives him so much stuff to work with. And
calling himself the real world's champ. That's fucking sweet.
Is that what he's been saying?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That's awesome. That's really great. But yeah, it was super fun and I'm really looking forward to what they do with Finlay this year. I really hope, you know what? I hope they end up doing more with him than they did with Jay White. Jay White ended up sort of just treading water and not really moving forward, but already in Finlay's short reign in Bullet Club.
That was pandemic.
Exactly. But, you know, that can't be helped. You know, that's just what it is, but it is actually the history of Jay in New Japan. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And even with the pandemic, he still fucking had an amazing Wrestle Kingdom main event, cut the fucking hottest promo in the world, and they still did nothing with him. There's things you can do. There's promos you can cut. There's stuff you can do. They just did nothing. You know what I mean? And whether that's him or them or whatever, there was no capitalization there. And I feel like in Finlay's short reign, they've already done way more. They've like established, you know, new soldiers for him. He's developing his own identity and all that kind of stuff. Now he's got this signature win. I think they can do some really cool stuff with him. So I feel pretty positive about that.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes, abso-fucking-lutely.
Absolutely. Then was a special singles match, Okada versus Danielson, with Okada winning with the fucking Rainmaker. I love that when you get a Rainmaker, you lay the fuck down, even if he has a broken arm or whatever was going on in the match. How did you feel about this?
Felt really good about it until a couple of days ago.
Because you know they're in holds and fucking Danielson's like, won't be long now until you can be in AEW with me forever.
Yeah. it's the Blackpool Combat Club. It's okay. You can come join.
If Okada debuted as part of the Blackpool Combat Club, I would probably fucking lose it. That would be the dumbest shit.
Well, that would be very dumb. But you know, like that's the thing. When they beat each other up and they shed blood together, then they join the Blackpool Combat Club.
Fuck.
Beef on that. He's like, come on down. Tony's gonna give you all the money. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
The yen is down, bro. The yen is down.
Come to my house. I'll make you a salad.
I'll show you how to bulk up on nothing but cucumbers. It's fucking sweet.
Can't teach you about anything about tanning, though. I don't know.
You you could teach me that cool magic trick, you know, where it rains money from the ceiling.
Yeah, that'd be real helpful. I won't need to work anymore.
I've been just calling Tony every time I need that.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it was fun. I do think it was a really good match. It was my favorite of their matches so far. It's not, I don't know, like it's, there's other combinations with Okada I would prefer though. You know what I mean? But I do think it's good. And I admit maybe I'm a little bit sort of like off it a bit now just because of like the Okada news and stuff like that. But I remember at the time being happy with it.
It was a fine match. It was really good. It was a fine match. It's, you know, five-star match, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter because neither of those guys are fucking New Japan contracted wrestlers, so I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Moving on. IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, Sonata versus Naito. Now, we have had lots and lots of conversations about fucking Sonata and Naito and shit like that on this podcast. I've had lots to say about Sonata. Do I think that this match was Wrestle Kingdom main event classic quality? No.
Yes. Oh, shit.
I do not.
We did not agree there.
No,
I thought it was a great match.
There was a bit botchy, man. Like it was Sonata's still not there.
A little bit.
I do think the story and stuff worked out at the end, and like, you know, when fucking Evil comes in, I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers are taking this away from him again. I love it. And then fucking Sonata takes him out with the Shining Wizard. I loved it. And I thought it was a real feel-good ending. And then you see the emotion from Sonata, like crying as you're like, perfect. That's all great stuff. And it clearly shows that they're not done with Sonata in the main event picture. You know what I mean?
Especially now.
Yeah. Not only the, you know, oh, I want another match with Naito, which terrifies me that he might just win it straight back. But the whole, like, they're like now to start to develop him as a character and show, you know, stuff like that. Like the video package that they did with him and Naito before this match, and then that save and then the tears after the thing is the most storytelling they've ever fucking done with Sonata. In like a short amount of time, like personality-wise and character-wise. And so I'm happy to see it play out. You know what I mean? Do I want him in my main events all the time? No, because I don't really like his, you know, his fucking wrestling. But, you know, there's something to be said about New Japan, how they just back in their story. You know, they don't just go, oh, you know what, actually fucking Sonata's not going to quite be there. Let's make this semi-main and we'll have fucking Okada and Danielson do it, or it'll be the three. It's like, no, the world title fucking headlines. And so I do think it was a really good match. I really enjoyed it. Either of Naito and fucking Sonata Okada, no. You know, and that's it.
No.
We've just been treated to such like fucking creme de la creme best matches of all time that it's hard. And Naito is one of those best wrestlers of all time, but he is physically breaking down, and that, you know, starts to show.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that he's got the length. I know that they said that, like, Naito wants a long run with the title so he can make the towns and he can do his roll call over and over again. I get that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so. No, there's no way.
No. I hope he gets especially it a couple of times. Especially now. I hope he gets, you know, he's closed Wrestle Kingdom with the call outs.
Yeah.
He can make a couple of different towns with the call outs, with the title and things like that. But man, it's going to be soon. It's got to be soon.
Yeah. And I really would be disappointed if they just flipped it straight back to Sonata. I would like to see them mix it up, especially now with the talent leaving and doing exciting things. I would love to see it flip in some exciting way to somebody different and unexpected.
They're definitely not finished with Sonata as a main event player. 100%. They're really not. 100%.
They're really not. And there's every chance in the world he's just going to win it straight fucking back.
Okada and Tanahashi downcycling, Okada leaving, Ospreay leaving, so many spots opened in there. How does your lights keep turning on and off?
I fucking tell you. So my wife installed this like sensor down here because the lights in this are smart lights, right? We don't use the switch. You just tell Google to fucking turn on the lights, right? When I come through that door, there is a little sensor here that when I open the door, it automatically turns on the lights. absolutely great. And then after 10 minutes, it like powers off in case you leave it there, right? Two problems with that. First, Amy immediately broke her phone and has not logged into the app to set it up properly. So it now immediately fucking turns off every time. Like she broke it like that night, right? And I don't have like the login and stuff for it. So we've just got to wait till she buys her new phone in 2 weeks because she wants a certain one. So that's annoying. But the where I keep fucking up everybody, and nobody cares because I don't see video, is I sit at this desk. My desk is in this cupboard, right? This big wardrobe. And I sit in front of it. I don't have heaps of leg room under it. So I often will stretch out this right leg, cramping up, out to my right. But then my foot goes in front of the sensor and then it goes to fucking spotlight mode instead of like purple light, nice ambient mode. So one moment. Okay, Google, turn lights to purple.
Out of nowhere, fucking Rafe just turns into an angel.
Yeah, it's
amazing. With the light right over here.
So anyway, nobody cares about this, but we're not editing it out.
Osprey leaving Okada, leaving Tanahashi, downcycling. You've got, and this could be the part where we start getting towards the, you know, what are we going to see in the future? What do we love? Like, there are spots. Yeah. There are more spots now than there ever have been.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you could absolutely see them going, well, tonight I had it for a year. Wasn't the fucking worst shit in the world. We're telling stories with him. He can physically handle making all the towns and doing all the stuff. He's in great shape. You know what I mean? He's a young guy. Plus, I feel like his personality is the kind of guy that sort of works well as like a soft-spoken defending champion than like a fiery like challenger. So you can kind of just put it on him and sort of leave it. You know what I mean? And the guys are with him and it'll work. So I think we're probably fucking settling in for like another year of Sonata, probably. I'm supposed to be thinking about my positive things for the year. But yeah, I think that's probably likely. So anyway, but before we just run off what predictions that we would like to see and stuff like that, let's not get completely ground down about it. But how did you feel about New Year's Dash? Afterwards, you have fun with that event? That was like a little fun.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I love New Year's Dash, dude. I was so amped after it. Like, I know you you had to watch it on delay.
I had to watch it on delay, messages. And I also had to deal with, like, you dudes in the chat being like, that was the fucking best Dash. So then I'm like, what's going to happen? And then it gets to the main event, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. Can't wait for the super great thing that's going to happen. And then that was it. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I don't care about that. So
You don't care about Fujita versus Okada? Well, like at the time, I thought Okada was.
Oh no, I did care about that, and I did enjoy that TMDK won. But like, you know, the internet's like, it's a dream team of fucking Blackpool Combat Club Okada and Ishii. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about that. So
you didn't care about the like AEW and New Japan assembling the fucking Avengers?
No.
That was so fucking good, man.
Was it?
It was so much fun. Well, when I thought that fucking Okada was staying, Okada, Ishii, and the Blackpool Combat Club, I thought the Blackpool Chaos Club, I thought that was cool as fuck.
I mean, it is cool.
Versus TMDK, my favorite faction. Yeah, that was fucking
great. I mean, that is cool, but as I say, this is why I don't engage in social media, but when people you know are like, this was so fucking sick, you're thinking, somebody debuts a fucking amazing title challenge happens, not just like a fun tag, you know, is where my head was at as I was watching it. And this is why I like to watch wrestling live, because then you don't have preconceptions going into it, you know. But that's totally my own issue. Not that it was a badly booked show or that wasn't a fun thing to do.
Can we also talk about how Yuto Nakashima and Oscar Loiba are big boys now going off?
I love
into
that
the
them.
World.
Love that for them.
Very excited.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. I like the fun match between Tanahashi and Taguchi. We got to see the president's rump. That was that's pretty funny.
I was like, uh-oh, Rafe's excited somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rafe's just sniffing the air, like ears up like a dog. Like,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck's happening? Bishamon beating Oiwa and Kiyomiya, take it or leave it. But obviously they were kind of signaling that Bishamon aren't done being a tag team in New Japan. The El Phantasma on that, doing the match with Oscar and thing. Then we had that big super tag kind of vibe of like evil versus, you know, Wato and Despe and Makabe and Umino and Tonga and stuff like that. But Shota got the win, so that's the point. Then it was all the Bullet Club together, which is cool, versus United Empire, which is cool. Would have been cooler if the fucking Young War Dogs still had their titles, though, and it was like all white belts. I think that would have been a little bit hotter. Been
fucking sweet. But that leads us to the
the
cage match that's coming,
which is still coming. When's that? That's soon, right?
It's the 23rd, I think. Mm-hmm. We'll find that out in a minute.
Yeah,
but we get all five members of the War Dogs mm-hmm. versus Jeff Cobb, TJP, Ospreay, Akira, and Hanare. Mm-hmm. That is gonna be fucking sick.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
I'm really into it because I never do stuff like that, which is cool. Then it was like LIJ versus Just Five Guys, and then also like Sonata challenging Naito again, and he's about it. We already talked about it. Then the KOPW stuff, we already talked about that. And then obviously the Blackpool Chaos Club situation. So, yeah, a fun little show for After
Dash. I found the list. Mm-hmm. While we were freaking out in the group chat, you sent me this. You said, time for wild predictions. Do not confirm what you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. Tsuji takes over LIJ. ZSJ wins the title. War Dogs versus Blackpool Combat Club. Okada and Naito versus Mox and Danielson. Shingo versus Danielson. That would be great. Despy and Suzuki versus Bullet Club, BCC. Hanare beats Tama for the Never. War Dogs win the junior title straight back. GOD merge the belts, no more strong belts. Taichi wears white on white and beats Naito for the title. Knock and Oscar debut as a real tag team. Okan is KOPW champ. Yes.
Yeah. And the Oscar thing is kind of correct. Like I said, they debut as a real tag team, but in reality, they have to go on excursion first. So kind of half marks on that.
Okan is KOPW champion. Takeda debuts. Jun Kasai debuts.
I started getting crazy. Like, I love a debut, especially when half our fucking talent's at AEW now.
God, don't remind me. Okay. So, yes, I fucking love New Year's Dash. I thought it was a great show. It had me really amped for everything. And then, you know, we're getting everything ready to, we're going to talk about it. And then we decided that we had to talk about Battle in the Valley.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's wait for Battle in the Valley. Battle in the Valley, this great fucking show. Mm-hmm. And we get this, you know, five-star fucking amazing match between Shingo and Mox. I fucking love
that. Yeah, that was sick. I
had old school ECW vibes off of that.
Yeah, let's zip through it real quick. I'm not even going to waste any time on any of the stuff that doesn't really worth mentioning. I'm just zip, 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 zip. Didn't really even care about that. Don't really care about that.
Wow, you're not even mentioning what
they are. Definitely don't care about him and his mate. Okay. So Shingo and Mox was fucking awesome. Also, Kingston and Gabe Kidd was
great.
Great.
Great times.
It was great. Yeah, absolutely.
What it needed to be.
And then Okada and Ospreay were good. I don't think that was their best match either, but that was still a good time. So it was three.
Emotional send off. Okada saying goodbye to Ospreay.
Before putting in his own Okada notice. Saying,
see you in 3 weeks to Ospreay. God damn it,
man. Yeah, exactly. I wasn't even going to talk about it, but I don't care about Cobb and Riddle reforming, and I'm not interested in Riddle being a part of New Japan.
I'm not interested in Riddle being part of New Japan. I don't want Riddle to be part of the United Empire. I really don't want TJP and Matt Riddle on the same fucking faction, because that would just, the internet would explode.
Yeah.
I don't want Riddle in my New Japan. No, thank you.
Not at all. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Imagine
him. There's a time when I would have begged to have Matt Riddle in my fucking New Japan. I would have loved that. But no.
Not now.
We can't name our podcast after a specific wrestler just in case.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Fuck. Imagine if like Riddle took over United Empire. I would just like cancel New Japan World. It would be so fucked.
So, Bucky, yeah. What are you fucking doing?
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
Exactly. So anyway, I mean, that was fine. It was probably like one of the better, you know, strong style pay-per-views, I would say. I would say the quality was better than we've seen from them, like not only in like match quality, but also in actual technical quality, like it working and running and stuff like that.
You could watch all the matches.
And the fact that we could watch it with Japanese commentary on New Japan World and not have to fucking fork out yet more money into Fight. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. That was awesome. I mean, I love Charlton and Walker and all the guys, but I can't buy more wrestling pay-per-views. I just cannot.
Nope.
Yeah.
Especially because you just raised my fucking monthly subscription fee. Mm-hmm. So I really can't be forking out any money for that.
AEW just fucking did as well, because I've got them on Fight. I've got the thing. Fight got bought by Triller or something, and they're just like, oh, announcement, just letting you know your subscription is now an extra $4 a month just because it's Triller now.
Just because fuck you?
Yeah, just because fuck you, basically. I was very unimpressed.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. New Japan's like, we're gonna up your subscription fee for this like service that's not as good.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Dog act. So let's
they have dogged the boys.
Yeah, they have always. Let's talk about some positives. Let's wrap this fucker up real quick. 2024, let's make some wild predictions and talk about if they're good or not. So at the end of Battle in the Valley, Moxley has essentially challenged Naito, and it's announced that they're going to have a match. Wild prediction, Moxley wins the title. Boom.
Oh. My heart can't take it, bro. My heart can't take it. I don't want that. I don't want our world title to disappear for another fucking 6 months. Mm. God damn it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I kind of want it. I don't want it.
Mm. I will
If
it was anyone from the other side of the fence to come in and have to wear it for a time, I would prefer it be Moxley. Just because I feel like he does New Japan right. And always has.
Mox in New Japan is a different animal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true.
And it's my preferred animal. I prefer him in New Japan. So, like,
absolutely.
If he was like, you know what, I'm done with fucking AEW and I'm just going to be a full time New Japan guy, I'd be into it. Like, that would be fine.
The problem is, you're not going to see Mox making the towns.
Nah.
You know?
No. Nah, absolutely.
Mox isn't going to be on the bus with the rest of
the boys.
They've got
100 belts. That's fine. Like, you just need him to be at the pay per views, is the thing. And I mean, he's had a title before and has proved that can't always happen. So, yeah, it wouldn't be my personal choice, but let's play devil's advocate. Fucking, you've lost your biggest star, two of your biggest stars. Who else can fill that void, you know? Let's.
Person's other big star.
Yeah, exactly. We want to fucking stir it up or whatever. You could absolutely see an argument in that booking room where they say, let's do it. You absolutely could see it. And I don't think that going into that match, you could write off the possibility that Moxley could win that title.
No. And that's why people are going to go to this show. And that's why people are going to purchase the pay-per-view.
Absolutely.
I'll be there. I'll be watching it.
But absolutely. And I think it was a great choice to book that match, like regardless. And I think it'll be really good. And I think Moxley will bring out something different in Naito that we haven't seen as well. So yeah, I'm really into it, but I just wanted to stir that up because I had posed that to you in text message and you had lost your shit. And so I wanted to bring it all back up for you.
Do not want.
So what do you want for 2024? If you had, let's do this. Let's do three wishes each of what we want to see from New Japan in 2024 off the top of your dome.
I would wish for New Japan to elevate young talent. That's easy. Everyone's always saying elevate the new guys. And they have been doing it, but, you know, they elevated Sonata when Sonata's not a young guy anymore. Mm-hmm. So, okay. they are elevating new talent. And that's the mandate. Make these boys look great. They don't have to give everyone a world title shot right away. They don't, nothing. You can just don't Okan them.
Yeah.
Don't turn them into what,
yeah.
Yeah. Don't turn them into what Great Okan's been for the last, you know, 2 years. Mm-hmm. Second wish, make Okan an actual fucking player. Like, I don't know if you want to give him the lead of United Empire, but make him fucking serious.
Make him feel like somebody. Yeah, absolutely.
Even if he doesn't win a title or whatever, make him feel like a threat.
Yeah. Don't make this, and they'll be tempted, don't make this KOPW run a joke. Don't make it like the comedy thing, because he can do that. Like, He's great at comedy wrestling. Yeah. Not everything's a fucking calisthenics match and shit like that. Like, make him a player.
But he can do great. He can do great comedy. He's very funny. He's got great timing, but he can also do violence. Yeah, yeah. He was the final boss in fucking RevPro for a while there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was awesome.
And that match with Moxley as well did that really, really well. Yeah.
Yeah. He could be a fucking monster. Mm-hmm. And the monster doesn't have to have the belt. You know, like Kane wasn't a world champion all the fucking time, but you know, he was a monster. He felt like a threat every time. Mm-hmm. Okay. All I want you to do is make Great Okan feel like a threat. He doesn't have to be serious. Mm-hmm. He just has to be a badass. Mm-hmm. And you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Third wish.
I can't think of a third one. Can you think of a couple of wishes while I think of a third one real fast?
Yeah, I can do them. I haven't given them any thought. It's not like I was prepared. I thought of this on the fly, this idea. But my first one would be batten down the hatches and keep it in-house. And
yes.
And by that, I don't mean no crossovers with the companies and things like that, or people share, but I want the majority of what you're doing to be focused on developing New Japan talent. That's when they do it absolutely the best. Let's lock it down. Let's focus on making all our guys stars. Let's fucking lock it down. And that means locking people into contracts. No more
32-man fucking G1s.
None of that. Cream of the crop. Lean, mean, fucking
G1.
Yeah, absolutely. Lean, mean roster, focusing on the best things for all the guys that are on your fucking payroll that live with you that are going to do their best.
Let's go.
That's what I want to say.
20-man G1, no pimp, no Kenta, no fucking, no Goto and Yoshihashi.
Yeah, I don't want to see Will Ospreay back for it. Like, I don't want any of that. I just want New Japan fucking dudes. That's what I want.
Killers. I want killers.
Killers.
I don't want anyone who's a guaranteed fucking loss for eight of their nine matches.
Yeah.
I want fucking people who are going to go at it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, someone's got to be there to take the losses. Mm-hmm. No, they fucking don't.
Yeah.
No, they fucking don't.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So... And yeah, and with that, that includes, you know, contracts, that includes backing in the people that you're going to keep in your roster, that don't be distracted by shiny toys, batten down the hatches, keep it lean, keep it mean, keep it right, keep it tight. That's what I'd love to see. So that's wish one. Have you thought of your third wish yet?
I think I was just going off on my third wish there, is I want a smaller field for their tournaments.
Okay.
I want their tournaments to be the best of the best. Mm-hmm. I want a 20-person BOSJ. Mm-hmm. I want a 20-person fucking G1. I want a, like a 16-person New Japan Cup. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want a fucking 48-man New Japan Cup. Mm-hmm. I don't want that shit anymore.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that.
Absolutely.
Let's every single team, mm-hmm. every single individual, every like fucking let's take smaller tournaments and make them more meaningful.
Yeah.
That way, like, the first round of the New Japan Cup, there's always one fucking one big surprise, and then the rest of it's like, okay, this person beat Hanma, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why is Hanma even in this fucking New Japan Cup?
Yeah.
I don't mean to be disrespectful of Hanma, mm-hmm. but like,
but of course need they're to gonna be in the New Japan yeah, Cup. Absolutely. Keep it to people who can be contenders where they feel like a threat. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And that way you get banger matches from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the first round of the New Japan Cup, it's like Naito versus Zach.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. or like we get some of the young dudes facing off in the beginning. So we get like Shooter versus Tsuji first round of the New Japan Cup. And you're like, oh shit, one of these guys is out right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's a storyline.
Absolutely.
World Tag League. You know, let's just get fucking 8 teams, mm-hmm. you know, top 2 advance to the finals. That's it. That's all it. We need.
That's all it is.
We don't need fucking, you know, Yuji Nagata and Suzuki. I love Yuji Nagata and Suzuki, mm-hmm. but we do not need them in the fucking World Tag League.
No, no.
Exactly. I want smaller, meaner divisions for each and every one of our tournaments.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you want to bring in a fucking AEW tag team, mm-hmm. it better not be fucking Gates of Agony. You know,
Learn how you want to
bring in an AEW tag team, you bring in fucking someone who's held their fucking championship belts before.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to bring in somebody for the G1. Mm-hmm. Okay. It better be someone who's held a fucking belt, someone who means something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like no more fucking, yeah, make a wish tours or anything like that. So, which kind of leads into my first point. My second wish would be faction shakeup. And by that, I mean specifically cleaning up the messes. So Chaos no longer exists. They're fucking
put that dog down.
The Chaos leader is gone. Done. The leader's fucking gone. What is it now? It's Yano, Goto, Yoshihashi, and Ishii. Like, that's it, right? Yo, fucking yo, Jesus Christ. Fuck, I get pissed off thinking about it. So five guys, like just five guys, that needs to be shaken up. Strong Style doesn't exist. Like, it's not a faction. Fucking Suzuki's barely even working there and fucking Ren left him. Despy needs to be set free from that and moved into rotation elsewhere. Then you've got all the loose Hontai people and stuff like that. There's no G-O-D reason. And then also G-O-D, why does G-O-D fucking even exist now if Tama leaves? You know what I mean? They'll probably continue it because they've put that work into it now. But that's the thing. Like, tighten them up, make them more focused, make them mean something, make the merch cool, do all that kind of stuff. New Japan is always based around factions, so it's important.
How do you feel about a G-O-D faction with, like, El Desperado and, you know, Hikuleo and El Phantasmo?
I don't hate it. I'm not all the way certain how Despy would fit with those guys because they're all like cuddly, lovey, love hearts and shit like that, and Despy's becoming a stone cold psychopath.
Okay.
But yeah, I do. True. I just like all those wrestlers though. So there is that.
Yeah. Where does Desperado fit in?
Hey?
Where does Desperado fit in?
It's a very good question.
He's not a team player for like War Dogs. Mm-hmm. He's not going to bow down to Finley. Mm-hmm. He's not good for House of Torture because he's not that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. He's not all like Boba Tea and fucking let's be super cool like United Empire. Like, I don't know where Despy fits in right now. Mm. He's got too much personality for Hanma.
He's the kind of character that sort of works as a bit of a lone wolf, really, doesn't he? Like,
yeah,
just sort of on his own, but it's not the way the mechanics of New Japan work, you know?
Yeah.
When I think of people that could potentially stand with him and sort of make sense, I would say, like, Ishii would make sense as a potential mentor, and I feel like they would sort of look good together. I think of Goto, but not Yoshihashi. Like when I think of like just fucking harder men, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Maybe
Goto and Yoshihashi are just Hantai. Let's just Hantai them.
How far off is Oiwa? like Oiwa, Kiyomiya, El Desperado. Back soon. Like maybe the I could see like an Oiwa and an El Desperado sort of forming something up.
Oiwa, El Desperado, Ishii. I think we're building a good faction here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's a good wish list.
Yeah, maybe at the start a newly signed Kiyomiya, but then obviously he breaks away to become a colorful ace again, but you'd have him in like fucking bit darker colors sort of chilling with him as like the sort of bad boy neutral faction.
I dig it. I dig it. We'll work on that one. So what other teams need? I think we need to separate House of Torture and Bullet Club entirely.
Let's and especially as big as House of Torture is now, it's like fucking got more members than Bullet Club. Like, so it almost doesn't make sense. Like, I think it just needs to be completely what it is. So House of Torture being what they are, Bullet Club being what they are, make it clear who is in which, you know what I mean? Like, who is a war dog and who is a House of Torture and who just doesn't even belong in the faction anymore. Get that all sorted out. Just Five Guys are doing well. Still a ridiculous
United Empire is going to have some sort of shakeup.
Yeah,
going with
United Empire
now.
Shake up. LIJ keep doing what it do.
Who do you want to see as the leader of United Empire's?
Real quick, could you roll an El Desperado into an LIJ?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Because imagine him and Honma like fucking burying their fucking differences and teaming together. They're like, we fought each other to death. Yeah, sorry. Who did I say? Honma.
Yeah.
That's me writing that faction from last year.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't care for that.
Yeah. I just think, you know, he's got that Mexican influence. But anyway, moving on. United Empire. Think we need a shake up, whether it just stays stagnant because Will's the leader in AEW, I don't know, but I would like to see Okada as the leader. Would be good.
I think they're building towards TJP taking over as the head of United Empire, and I don't like that idea.
No, also he's a junior. Like, that doesn't work at all.
Prince Devitt.
Ugh. Yeah, but Prince Devitt isn't TJP. They're very different people. They're very fucking different people.
Very, very different people.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I think United Empire is on the downswing without Ospreay and with them writing Okan to be like with him being less than like he's been for the last year. Mm-hmm. It fucking sucks, man.
Yeah, it needs to be Okan. That's it.
It needs to be Okan, especially if Jeff Cobb is leaving.
Okan with like Hanare as his main enforcer. Is the look, and then fucking gear it towards that initial Okan fucking, you know, suit, like assassin fucking Yakuza looking suit, Hanare in the fucking white suit with the fucking hat and the face covering and shit like that. That fucking anime final boss vibe.
I could see El Desperado fitting there.
Yeah, actually, I would fucking love that. Let's fucking dump a couple of fucking losers. If Cobb was out, fucking drop Catch 2-2, move Despy in and put those three together. That'd be fucking sick.
Actually, I'd still take Akira. I think Akira could be a lot of fun as like the junior ace.
Yeah. That's fair enough. I could keep Catch 2-2. It's fine. I think TJP does offer something. I just don't think he should be the leader of the thing.
Definitely.
And then I guess I got to think of my third wish, right? Yeah. I think just a fucking magnificent reign for my girlfriend, the president of New Japan.
Zack Sabre Jr.? No.
The elevation of Zack would be a big one.
That's coming.
Yeah.
That's coming
anyway. Do I want to use a wish?
Get him the fucking money.
I feel like I've got to use a wish on it just to wish it into existence. So the elevation of Zack Sabre Jr. into main event talent at New Japan. There you go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. That's it. The last episode of Okada Short.
Good night, everybody. Yeah. When this podcast come back, it's probably won't be called Okada Shorts anymore.
Yeah. Maybe we've got new exciting things for you. Might not be straight away. We're going to workshop this and do it properly. So we might take a couple of weeks or whatever. figure it out. We were saying maybe next recording session we just won't actually record and we'll just use it as a meeting to kind of workshop stuff and kind of think things through. So give us a little bit of time, but we're not going anywhere. We've got some plans and some fun ideas and things like that. So thank you for listening. Thanks to everybody that shared anything Okada Shorts. Thanks to all the podcasts that like have said, you know, nice things about us and shared things and featured us.
Had us on.
Huge shout out to the Canet Network for believing in us, for Super JCast for even introducing us, to the WeWork Stiff Lads for being our biggest cheerleaders. Thanks to the, you know, the people who have come on and done interviews and things with us and who even want to still do stuff like that with us. Thanks to everybody. We've really enjoyed it. We've enjoyed being Okada Shorts and we're sad that we can't continue, don't feel like we can continue to be that. But it's, you know, it's going to be fun. We're going to change it up and we're going to evolve and, yeah, we're going to do what we want from New Japan, leaner and meaner. Hey, Curtis?
That's right. That's right. Exactly, man. We're going to lead by example.
Absolutely. So I think one last time you should intro the show since we didn't fucking do it. We've left it to 1 hour and 35 minutes. You can tell the intro. Uh-oh. I'll do the outro and then we'll get the fuck out of here.
Well, thank you for tuning in. Of course, my name is your good friend, Curtis Spears. That over there, that's your bad friend, Rafe Houston.
What up?
And here we are, the king of shorts, the kings of pod style, the International Wrestling Grand Prix, the Okada Shorts podcast. What up, Rafe?
That is it. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Rate and subscribe. Listen or die. Keep it right. Keep it tight. And most importantly, keep it what, Curtis?
Short.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Every year, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame receives a new crop of potential inductees. And on our new Count Up Patreon series titled The Ballot, it's our job to discuss whether or not these newbies should become Hall of Fame wrestlers. Hello, my name is Ryan Knightsey, and every month, a guest and I will analyze the regional careers of newly balloted wrestlers for the Observer Hall of Fame. Are they day one votes? Do they belong at all? Find out on The Ballot every month on patreon.com/countoutpod. Again, check out The Ballot on patreon.com/countoutpod. We hope to see you there.
This has been a Countout Podcast.